Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Why is the subject of baptism one of the more controversial questions among religious people? There are various ideas and doctrines circulating and many questions asked about baptism. Unfortunately, there are many varying answers given to the same questions. And this is because too many are answering questions according to creeds and catechisms and manuals and prayer books and confessionals and disciplines and their feelings and their ancestries and their clergymen and so forth. We ought to stay with the infallible, the inerrant, the inspired, the all-sufficient and authoritative Word of God, as is taught in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Let us consider some of the more often asked questions on the subject of baptism. And let us be like the noble Bereans of old. Let us search the Scriptures. That's where we'll find what is so. Is it really an important subject? Well, some do not think so. But this reflects disrespect for the Word. Friend, anything the Bible teaches is important. God must say a thing only once to make it important. Baptism is mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament. We may not dismiss it with God's approval, or we may dismiss it. And even if we dismiss it, we do not change the fact that it is important. Were people baptized in the Old Testament times? They were not. That is, we might add with one exception. When the people of Israel crossed the Red Sea, it is said that they were baptized, 1 Corinthians 10:1 and 2. They were immersed in the dual element of the cloud and the sea. Some have suggested that Naaman was baptized, 2 Kings chapter 5, but this was called a dipping of 7 times in the Jordan. It is not called a baptism, even though he was immersed, and there are some similarities. Baptism was not commanded of the people in the Old Testament times, and it did not apply to them. But because we do not read of David and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and others being baptized, that has no bearing whatever on our responsibility under the law of Christ. What was John's baptism supposed to accomplish? The baptizing John did was a part of his work of preparing a people for the coming of Christ, Matthew 3 and verse 3. He baptized in the Jordan River when people confessed their sins, Matthew 3 and verse 6. It was for the remission of sin, Mark 1 and verse 4, and was preceded by faith and repentance, Matthew 3 and verse 2. Those that were baptized under John's baptism were taught that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, Christ Jesus, Acts 19 and verse 4. The effectiveness of John's baptism ended when Christ came, and his will was announced on the day of Pentecost. From Pentecost forward, people were baptized in the name of Christ, that is, by His authority. There is no record of people who were baptized by John's baptism before Pentecost being baptized again. In Acts 19 and verse 5, it is evident that those who Paul baptized again had been baptized after John's baptism ceased to be valid. John's preparatory work was of God, and adequate while it was operative. But once Christ came, his baptism no longer was that which was to be obeyed. Well, another question. What is the physical action of baptism? Friend, it is immersion and a coming forth from the water. Baptism means a burial, a plunging beneath, a submersion. The word baptize is not really a translation but a transliteration. That is, simply giving the Greek word an English sound. But baptizo, the Greek word, it means to immerse. The examples of baptism show it is a burial, for instance in Acts chapter 8, 38 and 39. When Jesus was baptized, he went into the water, was baptized, and came up out of the water. This action is not what takes place with the substitutions of men like sprinkling and pouring. Furthermore, it is specifically stated that baptism is a burial in Romans 6, 3 and 4, and Colossians 2 and verse 12. We are buried with him in baptism. Both secular and sacred history affirm that the early church practiced burial in water for the action of baptism. Pouring and sprinkling came as human substitutions gradually evolved. But such practices violate the teaching of God and cannot fulfill what Scripture demands. Well, is the baptism that I must obey a water baptism? Or is it Holy Spirit baptism? Friend, never has anybody ever been commanded to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit baptism was promised to the apostles, not commanded of them or of anyone. John chapter 14 and 15 and 16, and also Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Holy Spirit baptism was administered by Christ, John 14, 26, Matthew 3, 11. The baptism he commanded that his followers practice was administered by men, Acts 10, 48, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Mark 16, 16. That which the apostles preached and practiced when Paul said there was one baptism, Ephesians 4, was water baptism in the name of Christ for the remission of sins and to get into Christ. Some ask if we can expect to experience both baptisms, and the answer is no, because there is only one. There is no reason to expect or to think that there are two baptisms than to think that there are two of other things mentioned of which Paul says there is but one. Well, is baptism necessary to salvation? Now, some say no, but the Lord gave it as a condition for salvation. In Mark 16:16, he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Peter said, "Baptism saves," 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Ananias said, "Sins are washed away when one is baptized," Acts 22:16. Are divine commands necessary to obey, or are they optional? Peter commanded the household of Cornelius to be baptized, Acts 10, verse 48. Salvation depends upon our obedience. Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Friend, nothing is clearer in the New Testament teaching than the truth that baptism is a command that men must obey in order to be saved. Now, while denominations have attempted to reduce it to nothing but a sign of simply existing salvation or a way of entrance into their denomination, the Bible does not present baptism in that fashion. What really happens at baptism? What is it for? Acts 2:38 teaches that it's for the remission of sins. Acts 22:16 teaches that sins are washed away in baptism. Galatians 3 and verse 27 teaches it is the way to get into Christ, as does Romans 6:3 and 4. When we are baptized into Christ, we are at that moment baptized into his death, where his blood was shed, John chapter 18. It is there that the blood of Christ is applied to our sin-stained souls, and we're raised to walk in a newness of life, new creatures in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. It is then that the new birth of John chapter 3 is accomplished, born of water, that's baptism, and the Spirit, according to and by the teaching of the Spirit. Or does baptism put you into the church? The answer is yes. Because when one is baptized into Christ, he is likewise baptized at the same moment into his body, which is the church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, and Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23. Friend, the same act of obedience that brings salvation is that which causes God to add you to his church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. You do not do one thing to be saved, and then something else to, as some speak of it, join some church. No, what you do to be saved is what you must do to become a member of the Lord's church, because the Lord's church is composed of the saved. It is unfortunate that some false teachers teach people to be saved and then join the church of their choice. Well, God does not teach this, and God does not give man a choice, nor are there many churches that are approved of God. There is one body, which is the church, and those who obey God in baptism for the remission of sins are added to his church. Well, let's ask another question. Is being baptized to be saved a system of salvation by works? Well, the question calls for a yes and a no, depending upon whether you understand what the Bible teaches, that there are different kinds of works.
Friend, let's understand that basic fundamental biblical principle. There are different kinds of works. Nobody can be saved by the works of the Mosaic Law. Nobody can be saved by works of his own merit and his own righteousness. Nobody can be saved by earning and working his way to heaven, nor are those who are baptized scripturally even attempting to do so. But there are works of obedience that makes faith perfect, James chapter 2, beginning with verse 20. Even believing is called a work by Jesus Christ, John 6 and verse 29. Unless one obeys, faith is a dead faith, James 2, 26. When one is baptized, he's depending upon God for salvation, and he makes his appeal to God by being baptized, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Baptism is man's part in God's plan for saving man. Obeying is the way we partake of the benefits of God's grace, and the way our faith becomes a saving faith. Friend, even when we work the works of obedience, we're not earning salvation. We're not even attempting to do so. We're simply meeting the conditions God has given for man to receive the gift of salvation that he offers and gives to the obedient. Is baptism what some call water salvation? Now, it's been called that by some who ridicule God's plan. Let me ask you, was Naaman's healing in the Jordan River water healing? Was the water that power that healed him? Why, certainly not. Neither does the water have the power to wash away sins by itself. Water is simply the element into which man must be baptized in order to reach the saving blood of Christ. Nobody has ever taught that the power is in the water, not if they teach the truth. And to so charge is to make a false charge. But to contend that we can ignore what God has commanded and still receive the blessing that he has offered is quite arrogant. It is defiant of his will. Yes, we're saved by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, by the love of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, but we're also saved by an obedient faith to the law of Christ. This is beyond debate. It's not a question, does God save, or are we saved by his grace, or by God, or by the blood of Christ? When are we saved? It's when we do what God has commanded us to do to reach that blood. Were people always baptized in New Testament times? No, not everyone obeyed God, and not everyone was saved. But those who heard the word and believed the word and obeyed the word, they did so, and they included baptism. Every example of conversion to Christ was recorded in the New Testament after Pentecost, was brought to a completion with the obedience of the act of baptism. Read this for yourself in the book of Acts, and you will find that these things are so. Now, there are other questions that may be asked, but this will suffice for this particular lesson. Whatever we need to know about baptism is revealed for us in Scripture. The doctrines of men do not tell us what we must learn and what we must obey. We must speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, and we urge all people to simply hear and to heed the word of God. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.